Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
John chapter 15, 1 through 17. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that beareth no fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. How many of you want to be fruitful with God? Say amen. You are already clean, though the word which I have spoken to you remain in me. Remain in me. Underline that in your Bible. Also, I also remain in you as I also remain. And notice the order that it's in. Remain in me as I also remain in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it remains in the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and this is the seventh of the I am parables or stories in the Word of God. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man does not remain in me, he is thrown out as a branch and withers, and they are gathered and thrown into the fire, and as they are burned, and they are burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you will ask whatsoever you desire, and it shall be done for you. God healed Todd today. My Father is glorified by this, that you may bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. How many of you would like to be the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Say amen. I don't want to keep you long today, but I want to talk about four essential steps to getting close to God. I want to show you three processes that it's going to take, and then I want to give you one purpose, and I want to say one reality, and I'm going to say it really quick this morning. I want you to understand how you come to the place in your walk with God to where control leads to surrender. How we come to the place where our relationships lead us to trust and our work leads us to a marketplace ministry and our pleasure leads us to more hunger for God and Jesus Christ. And wisdom leads us to humility and curiosity about God. And spirituality leads us to embracing God. And life leads us to celebration of life over death and the celebration of the resurrection. There's four things you need to know if you want to get close to God and you want your prayers answered and you want to be as close and you want to live the life of the tree of life. Everybody write it down. Number one, you got to abide. The word abide actually is the Greek word for dwelling place. It's actually the Greek word which means to remain. In other words, it's the essential word for consistency. In other words, God is saying that if you want me to do a real work in your life and you want to know me like you've never known me before, how many of you want to know Jesus like you've never known him before? Say amen. If you really want that kind of deep life, that kind of life of joy that the tree of life gives, then on this side of the fall, you got to remain in him. In other words, it's home. It's a dwelling place is actually the Greek. In other words, it's got to start where God is first in your life, not second, not third, not fourth. You don't decide to come to church. Whether it's pretty or whether it's raining, God is first. Everybody say first. God is first. So when God, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of these other things will be added unto you. And God is saying, I don't play second fiddle to anyone. When you place me first, then what's going to happen is that I'm going to bear fruit out of you. I'm going to bring you to the place to where your prayers are answered. And it starts with the simple concept that you must abide. What does it mean to abide? It means you read your Bible on Monday and you read it on Wednesday. It means you pray on Tuesday and it means you worship on Thursday. It means that there's a walk with God proceeding. All of life is proceeding out of a central locus, a central place where you abide. And the Bible says the righteous run into it and are safe. The Bible says that if you abide in him and he abides in you, you can ask what it will and it shall be done. How many of you would like to have a revival of your prayers being answered? The Bible says the central location for the tree of life and the benefits that come from what Christ is wanting to do in us. How do you accomplish these things? It starts with making sure there's a beachhead. It begins with making sure that Jesus is in the right place in your world. It means that he's not fourth or second or third, that he's first. Somebody say amen. So he says, I want you to abide in me. What does abide mean? It means you're consistent. It means you're consistent in church attendance. Number one, that's baby stuff. You ain't got that down, you're a baby in Christ. It means you are consistent in reading the Word of God. It means you're consistent in worship. Don't let worship go by. I'm proud of you for worshiping today. I've watched you. I watch you like a hawk right now because I felt like a dentist for 3 months because I've been preaching about you can come to church, you can pay your tithes, you can be a good person and still end up in hell. Because this thing is not about a religion. This thing is not about an institution. This thing is about a personal relationship. It's about organic intimacy in your life. And I'm watching hundreds of you have radical experiences with God right now in this church. This church is welcome to pruning as far as it's concerned as it relates to God saying, I want a group of people who are going to put me first. I want people who are going to put me first. And what we don't want is a whole room full of people who don't want to put God first. We want seekers and we want people who are believers. And the people who, we want people who are going to put God first because there's going to be so much fruit that comes from that. Say amen. My heart is for you to learn to be successful on this side. So you got to learn to abide. Number two, then the thing you need to understand is that you've got to look at the word and understand the word fruitfulness. When the Bible talks about fruitfulness, it is speaking of how you are abiding in the vine and that you are fruitful. That word fruitful means dependent. It comes from the Greek word vital union. It is organic intimacy. Jesus says about the tree of life. Isn't it funny that you just can't leave this stuff? As a matter of fact, this fruitfulness is rooted and grounded in the concept of a grapevine, and we know that in the Greek, and I'll get to it in a minute. But it says that you abide in me and I abide in you. And apart from me, you can do nothing. If I pull this branch out, what's going to happen to it? It's going to die. But if it stays connected to the vine and it gets its nutrients from the branch, from the vine, from the substance of the tree, it's going to live and do well. And Jesus says, I want you to bear fruit. And the only way to bear fruit is for you and I to abide with consistency in organic intimacy. The only way for you to accomplish what God has for you to accomplish, and the next 3 months are going to get extremely exciting around here as far as the Word of God and the benefits of God and the blessings of God and the expectations of God. But you have to understand how these things take place after the trees. You have to realize that if we have God first and everything out of our life proceeds from that, that means that we are abiding in Him with consistency in the areas of spiritual discipline and that it's going to produce fruitfulness from a vital union, which is organic intimacy. You cannot bear fruit without organic intimacy. You cannot bear fruit without organic intimacy. This is a relationship. Jesus said the danger of religion is that you can stand before God one day and say, God, did we not cast out devils in your names? Did we not speak in tongues? Did we not do all of these things? And Jesus is going to look at some people and say, depart from me, I never gnoskoed you. I never knew you. I never knew you. I never knew who you were. So what I want to ask you today is how close are you to God? What's your intimacy like? I'm not asking if you're paying tithes. That's an act of obedience. I didn't ask you if you dressed right today. What I want to know is what's life like with you when you leave here? Is there a personal walk? Do you talk to God only on Sundays? Do you bring your Bible out only on Sundays? Or are you connected to the vine, the fruit, the food that you need to be successful in the body of Christ? How close are you to God on Tuesday? How much worship are you doing in your car? I was worshiping God the other day in the car, and I'm glad this church is full of police officers because I'm telling you something. I thought I was going to get a ticket, sure as the world. I had a Holy Ghost revival driving down the road with this worship college out of Dallas, and me and Jesus was having us a good time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Say amen. You've got to have this as a personal walk with God. It's got to come out of a dwelling place, a home, a consistency. But he says that when you get to this place, then you're going to be able to say, mountain be removed and cast into the sea. He says, when you get to this place, you're going to be able to pray, God, bring my daughter home, and your daughter's coming home. He says, when you get to this place, you're going to have authority to bind and to loose. When you get to this place, there's going to be a sustenance of inside of you that gives you power you did not have before. Somebody say amen. And so he talks about fruitfulness, and then he uses the word vine. There's an essential understanding. The word vine. The word vine is very important here, because the word vine is eleathenos, and it means you're conformed to the truth. It means that you have reality. It means you are have been incorporated into him. And that word vine carries the Greek expression of essential. So what it means is, when it says, I am the vine, I am the essentialness of your life. I am the reality. The way the world, listen, am I the only one that has figured out this world is perishing? Am I the only one that noticed how many people have come unglued around the world? Am I the only one that noticed? How many of you believe that evil is increasing? Can I see your hands? Listen, that's more important for us as children alike, to be the light of the gospel in a dark world. Amen? But Jesus can't use anyone that's asleep. Jesus can't use anyone that's apathetic about him. You may have a fire insurance policy, and you may come to church when you feel like it, and you may be a good person, but good people don't get into heaven. Only the redeemed get into heaven. And good people don't turn the world upside down. People who are fully committed to Jesus turn the world upside down. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise in here this morning. And so you have to realize that when he says that I'm the vine, I'm the essential. In other words, you can't have a religious walk. You can't have a relationship with God and not have him as the essential. Jesus Christ as the essential. He's the essential. He's the essential. But the Greek word means more than just that he's the essential. It means it's reality. This world is passing away, and everything in it is passing away. But the Bible says, my word will never pass away. Somebody give me an amen this morning. Now, when it talks about the vine, it's interesting that when you walked into Herod's temple, and I'm going to take you there in April, one of the first things, Aaron, that was on the door was a golden vineyard, an emblem of a vineyard. And it was a symbol of theocracy. Theocracy means that God alone is the governor and nobody else gets a say-so. He's fully in charge. It's not a dictatorship. It's a theocracy. That God is the head of the government. And so when you want to really bear fruit, you must start with the concept of theocracy. You must start with abiding. You must start with a dwelling place. In other words, is Jesus in your home? Is Jesus in your car? Is Jesus in your work? How does that happen? How do we transform society? It's when Jesus Christ is fully in us and he is flowing through us. Somebody say amen. Now, I want you to understand this next word, branch. Everybody say, that's me. I appreciate for three of you participating this morning. That's wonderful. Wake up this morning. The 9 o'clock crowd was more alive than you. Branch. Say, that's me. When you see the word branch, it's the word klima, which means it's broken off from a plant. It means it's a shoot. It means it's a shoot from the vine. Now watch this. Let me show you something. This is a branch. This is the vine. Now, this isn't a grape tree, but it bears the emblem. We're talking about the tree of life. Take the branch out of the vine, and what's going to happen to the branch? It's going to die. So how do you think you're going to live in joy? How many of you want joy? Swing your hand at me. How many of you want more self-control? Let me see your hands. How many parents have I got at this service? Let me see hands. Are you the only parents in the building like me that have told your kids 103,000 times in one day to make sure you go pick the tomatoes behind the swimming pool and pick up the leaves from where I trimmed the trees on Monday, and then you tell it 103 times and you come home and they still hadn't done it and you need self-control? Let me see your hands. So everybody shout self-control. Well, see, how you going to have self-control if you're out of the tree? How are you going to get your prayers answered? That's a problem. I watch a lot of people beg and barter with God when they're in trouble, and I know God's not going to answer them. Why? They're not in the vine. Only thing God's going to answer is, I repent. You want victory? Wave your hand at me and say amen. You want peace? Shout, I need some peace. You need self-control? Don't point at your wife. Just say, yes, I need it. How many of you would like to be a better person? You'd like to be good since God's been good to you. How many of you would like to be meek but not ran over? You got to be abiding in the vine. But that Greek word for vine isn't just some skimpy little simple branch. It means thick. There's a thick branch connected to the vine. Not some little twig, but a thick branch. How many of you would like to get thick with God? How many of you feel like this? Yeah. That's why you spent your life doing this. You ready for some victory? Stop doing this and start doing that. Get your life thick. And the only way to get thick with God, to where your prayers are answered, where mountains can be moved, is to stay in the vine connected. Stay connected. Now take a look at that word, that word branch. It implies not just a branch that's thick. We're not talking about twigs here. The Greek says thick. But we're talking about a vine that is tender. It's got sap going through it. Even though it's strong and it's thick, it's flexible. It is the kind of twig that has its heart soft. Isn't it interesting that Ezekiel says when you give your life to Jesus Christ after 2 Corinthians 5:17 says you're going to become a new creature? That in Ezekiel, I think it's 26 or 36, says I'm going to give you a new heart. Am I the only person that ever gets mean when he's not living right? Can I see your hands? You bunch of hypocrites, get those hands up. Let me tell you something. When I'm living right, I got more mercy than I got sense. When I'm living right with Jesus, buddy, I'll give away my billfold. I'll give away your shirt when I'm living right for Jesus. But I got to be honest with you and authentic with you. When I'm not right with God, or in the seasons of my life when I've not been right with God, I'm mean as an alley snake. It comes honest when you're a knight. It's true. We're cursed in that area. That's why you got to turn that anger into passion and that passion into holiness. But how many of you, let me take my glasses off so I can see you, you don't like yourself when you're not living right? Amen. Let me ask it again. Notice what tree I'm under. How many of you don't like yourself when you're not living right? And what do you think that is? When I'm living right, I'm doing right. And we've been trying, listen, not to be vulgar, it's not vulgar about this. We've clearly failed. This side doesn't do anything but bring pain. This side brings joy. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now listen, because I'm getting to the good stuff. Look at three processes. Notice the first process is in me. All right? In me. Now, I know you ignore this in English, but we're not dealing with English here. We're dealing with Greek. And so let me explain to you what the word in means. It namely emphasizes organic intimacy. Remove the branch from the daily fluid of the vine, power of the vine, the juice, the grape, the fruit. Remove that branch from the vine and it's going to die. But if you ever keep connected to Christ 24/7, this word in means place. It means out of or from and implies motion within. I want to ask you something, and that's why we're going to pray tonight and worship tonight. How much motion is within? How much emotion is within your walk with God? When you see people hurting, do you hurt? When Allison loses her 29-year-old brother in a very tragic way yesterday, do you bake a pie? We're talking about fruit of the Spirit. It's not plural, it's singular in the Greek. The word me is emphatic, which means it's clear, nobody has a misunderstanding of what I'm saying. In me. The place is me. It comes from without me. But here's the problem. Now listen carefully, you'll miss this. The abiding in him is the condition. Whereon depends his ability to abide in them. There's a condition to this kind of life. And I don't mean to be mean, and I have pastored more trauma in 2 years than I have ever pastored in 40 years of ministry, 37 years of ministry. And I have watched people in the worst moments of their life. I hit 35 or 36 in 2 years alone last night. I see them at the worst points of their life. I'm there. I see it. And I watch people beg and barter for God. I see people in this congregation of 1,300 people who go to church, pay their tithes, and everything's fine. And then God pulls his hand back from them because he doesn't want your money. He wants you. He doesn't want you just to be good. What good does it do to be a good human being and not be completely sold out to Jesus? He wants you. And I watch people beg God to come in here. God, send me my wife back and I'll go to Africa as a missionary. I'll marry Mother Teresa. I'll do something. And I watch it don't work. It doesn't work. Listen, religion will kill you. Do you understand me? This is nothing but religion. Trying to get to heaven on your own making. But the moment you surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the moment you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, heaven will shake, hell will begin to tremble, mountains are going to be moved and cast into the sea, and you will say what you will, and it shall. My God in heaven, it shall be done. I feel like a Pentecostal jig. I don't know how you sit there. My God in heaven. Unbelievable shame. But the powerful life. Not to get out of hell life. I'm sick of Christians who just want to stay out of hell. Not to heal my cat. He's about to die life. God loves cats. I don't, but that's your problem, not mine. Don't get mad at me, Charles. I got tomatoes waiting on yours. I'm not talking about get by, sing the songs of Zion, and just be a Christian and hope that there's some benefit of it. I'm talking about wrecking hell. I'm talking about the redeemed of the Lord standing up and saying so. I'm talking about a remnant that's going to make it in the rapture. Well, what do you call that? A branch. And for those of you that don't understand what I'm saying, it's not a branch Davidian. You can connect to Confucius and David Koresh and whoever else, you can even connect to a form of God and deny the power thereof. You can think you're connected to God, but if there's no juice in your fruit, if there's no juice in your branch and no fruit on your vine, you're kidding yourself. And I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to set you free this morning. I'm here to let the Holy Ghost serve notice on you that you've lived your lackadaisical, apathetic Christian walk with God long enough, and that God is wanting to do something in your life to bring power to your relationship. And here's the point I was on. It's conditional. And here's the only place after 37 years of professionally studying theology in conservative institutions. Here's the only place I can find in the Bible where you're supposed to do something, where you're in charge of your walk with God. You gotta think about it. What happened the last time you were in charge of your religious feelings? Didn't work out too well, did it? How'd that go for you? It's the only place where God asked for you to do anything to help him do something for you. Very simple. Good to see you home, my friend from Colorado that just moved here. Lift your hand, son. I know it's an African name. Tell me your name. Hey, John, how are you? Would you give him a big hand clap for moving here? Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm after your victory like a coon dog at 12 at night for a raccoon. Do you understand? Now, let me talk to you rednecks. You understand what I'm talking? I am after you like a beagle hound barking for a rabbit in February. I'm after your victory. This side of the tree. And here's the deal. See this? There's only one condition. God said, I'm about to do some amazing. I'm about to lay the head of Goliath at your feet. I just need you to do one thing. Stay. That's all I need you to do. You stay, you got this. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise. Jeremy, come on up. The Greek literally means you take heed and then I'll take charge. Why? Because Jesus is never going to make you take your stick and put it in his vine. You want to know what salvation looks like? Watch this. What does it look like to be saved? All you got to do. That's it. Yep. And then feed the vine. How many of you getting anything out of this? I'm blessing myself whether you get anything out of it or not. Now, I want to show you two things real quick. Number one, Jesus calls himself the husbandry. Always remember the farmer still owns the land that he tills. It's the word for gardener, and that's how we know it's a grapevine. And it means a reflection of subordination. In other words, the only way he can prune you is if you submit to him. Then he says, I'll come in as the gardener, and I'll prune every branch in you that doesn't produce fruit. And I'll cut off every branch that bears no fruit, and I'll get rid of these things for the benefit of the farmer. Look at the word cleanse. It means prune. It means he's going to cleanse us of filth. I know people who try to stop cussing and people who try to stop smoking and people who try to stop, they try to gain self-control through will, and they try to be kind through the will. They try all these things through the will. But folks, you want to fail? Do you want to fail? Then try to do this life through your will, and this is what you're going to get. But if you'll stay connected to the vine, that's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. Look at the ball. That's all you got to do. And through the... How many believe the blood of Jesus is powerful? Yeah. Then what does that mean? It's a vineyard. What color is grape? Looks like blood in a vial. Comes up out of the vine. And where does it go? Into the tributaries. Into the branches. And he says, if you'll abide in me and remain in me with consistency, and I'm first in your life, I'm going to cut off those things that don't produce fruit, and I'm going to cleanse you from filthiness, and I'll be the one that sanctifies you. I'll be the one that sanctifies you. Now, I want to go just real quick and show you something. Where's my notes? Here we go. I want you to notice something. Everybody go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, real quick. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. He says, I am the husband. It's in me. I'm the husband. And he says, I will cleanse you. How many of you want to be cleansed? Sanctified, holy, so God can use you. But here's the point. Galatians 5:22, there's the fruit of the Spirit. It's singular in the Greek, not plural. So one seed produces a whole lot of fruit. But Paul says, let me tell you some of the fruit. Now everybody look at that word where it says love. He'll give you the fruit of the Spirit. Love, which is in an order. The sins, the vices in Galatians 5:17 are not in an order. So write this down real quick. When it says that God will give you the ability to love, it means that God's going to do, and he knows what's best for you regardless of what you desire. So how many of you are glad God knows what's better for you than you do, even when you don't even desire good things from God? That's what it means. Look at the word joy, kaira in the Greek. Romans 4:17 says there's a joy in the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you something I never knew. I often thought that because of God's goodness that there are people who are wicked, or and I mean wicked. When I say wicked, I'm talking about people who don't know Christ as their Savior. Just good people. That they have joy and they have peace and they have long suffering, and that it's a umbrella of the goodness of God as a cosmologist, or as the author of cosmology. He creates. You know, that's not right. That's wrong. And let me tell you what the Greek says. The Greek says God will give you the kind of joy the world will never have. God's going to give you the kind of joy that the world does not understand. God's going to give you the kind of joy that comes only from him and a relationship with him. The joy of this world is not the same as the joy of the Holy Ghost in Christ Jesus. It's not the same. Look at this word where it says, actually that word, joy, means it arises up out of the gospel. There's no ability for anything to arise up in that. Let me prove it. Am I the only one that noticed how comedians have to drop F-bombs and be vulgar and use putrid languages, communicating irreproved things to get someone to laugh? If you can't laugh without somebody being nasty, you don't know God. Did you hear me? I said, if you can't laugh without somebody being nasty, you don't know God. Let me prove it. How many of you remember Don Knox on Andy Griffith? How many of you remember Tim Conway on the Carol Burnett Show? How many of you remember Sanford and Son? How many of you remember shows that were not filthy but caused you to laugh from your belly? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Listen, the joy of this world is not my joy.
My joy is joy unspeakable and full of glory, the half that has not even yet been told.
We got a different joy. Oh, look at that word peace. That's not the word for shalom, and we're going to get into that. That actually means divine favor that flows from the mind, that comes off of a walk with God, and it arises from reconciliation. This is the kind of peace that only comes from reconciliation. Let me show you what peace does not look like. Perfect, oh my cultural shindy. Perfect love cast out all fear. Oh, I gotta go, but I can feel the Holy Ghost burning in me. Look at that word where it says long suffering. Self-restraint before proceeding with action. Before you can beat your children because they didn't do what you said to do 152 times in the same day, the Holy Ghost can give you self-restraint. Before you punch that mean man in the line at McDonald's because he stepped in front of you and then ignored you when you said, excuse me, God can give you restraint. It means that we have the power to revenge, but we don't because we have the faith of Abraham under trying circumstances. It's actually quality, a character quality. Look at that word kindness. It's accompanied in the Greek with the word philanthropy. It means grace under your whole nature to the point that you've mellowed out. How many of you high-strung men or women who struggle with anger have noticed that since you started walking with God, staying in the vine, started walking with God, that you don't get as angry as what you used to? Let me see your hand. I'm lifting mine. Want to know why? Because the Bible promises you that He'll mellow you out. Mellowing you out doesn't mean that you're weak or not strong, Josh. It doesn't mean that at all. It means you've been mellowed out and you got wisdom you didn't have before. You have wisdom that you'd never had before, and it's the kind of mellowing that comes from the Spirit of God, but does not in any way imply weakness. It actually implies a disposition. Look at that word where it says goodness. That word goodness there is a really interesting word because the English word doesn't do what the Greek word needs it to do, and there's no English word to use for the Greek word in our language. And this is a perfect example of why you need to study the Bible. When you read this word in English, you miss the meaning. The word in the English means something different in the Greek. The Greek word means that your character has been energized to the point that you're expressing yourself through benevolence and in activity, and that it denotes that you are able to sharply rebuke someone with love if you know it will benefit them down the road. It means your character has been energized. How many of you would love for the Holy Spirit to energize your character? Look at the word faith. It actually means firm persuasion, conviction, and it is rooted and grounded in the Greek word for doctrine. You cannot obey what you do not. It's the ability to believe. Look at the word meekness. This doesn't mean feelings, that I feel meek. What's that? That animal on Winnie the Pooh that's meek, Eeyore, Listen, I love Eeyore. He's cute, but he's not a fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't mean Eeyore. Let me tell you what it means. It means that you now have an inward grace of the soul, and this is so fascinating to me. I need people to be really real right now. I'll be glad when we do get, we're almost redoing this sanctuary now. We're not far from it if you keep on giving. And I'm going to put back up on the walls what we've had on the walls for 18 years. Remember that, Penny? You're going to go back up on the walls. The Bible says, and we have said, to be authentic. Let me ask you something. How many of you have ever been mad at God? I'm going to lift my hands. This Greek word, Chuck, I've been praying for you all week for some reason. This Greek word actually means, ladies and gentlemen, that there is a inward grace of your soul that keeps you calm towards God. And helps you to be acceptance of God while He deals with you. How many of you love your dentist but don't like your dentist sometimes? Yay, well, you're lying. All right. You may like them, but you don't love them when you're in that chair and you hear that drill. I don't know. But do you realize the word meekness means in the Greek to enhance your closeness with God, and that God enables your spirit to handle things about Him that you don't understand? How many of you know God's way is right and man is wrong? Right? How many of you know it's hard to understand that? All right. Look at where it says self-control, which means content. I want you to be content. So I want you to understand that there are four essentials to living the good life: abiding, understanding fruitfulness, being part of the vine, and understanding your role as the branch. There's three processes there: the husbandry, who owns the farm and who prunes the vine, the cleansing and the pruning of the vine, and the understanding that the process takes place in me. And when you're in me, you invite me to do the work. The purpose is to bear fruit, but the reality is, apart from me, you can do nothing. So you know what I want you to do? How many of you have gotten anything out of this today? I want to dismiss you, and I want you to go to the altar call. And the altar call is for you to spend time with God today. I've given you a time tonight to do it. We're in a 40-day fast. Go and do likewise. I love you. I'll see you later.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.